You know what I hate? I hate when they interrupt my commercials with some of this wrestling crap. I don't like that. Thankfully, we had plenty of commercials on tonight's show to outnumber all the minutes of wrestling that we actually got. So we were in good shape. Wrestlepalooza, we had commercialpalooza here tonight. How terrified must they have been to format the show in the way that they did? They were so terrified of running out of time at the end of the show for the AJ Lee closing segment that just the way they formatted the show, I cannot remember an episode, honestly, of SmackDown or of WWE television that was this bad when it came to the number of commercials and just the things they were interrupting at various points in the show, especially in that opening match that we had after the opening segment. But my God, in between all of those commercials, though, were a couple of great segments and some not so great segments. Unfortunately, we had that as well. Actually, very forgettable segments. But what everybody was talking about coming into this show here tonight was the return of AJ Lee actually going to happen? There were people who didn't believe. I'll believe it when I see it, right? I mean, it's been 10 years. This woman hasn't been back on television in 10 years. She doesn't want to come back. If she wanted to come back, she would have been at Evolution. If she wanted to come back, she would have been in the Royal Rumble one of these years. Leave her alone. She's done. She's retired. But anybody who's been watching the television shows over the last week or two, it was plain as day. This could only be leading to one possible outcome. Anything else would be a disappointment. And WWE knew that, and they would have to be fucking idiots to set it up any other way. And so even on Monday night, when CM Punk said to Adam Pearce, "Where's SmackDown on Friday?" And Adam Pearce had to remind him that SmackDown was in Chicago. He said, "Tremendous." And you knew at that point what they were setting up for. They had a packed house in Chicago at the Allstate Arena tonight, over 16,000 people chanting this woman's name long before she even came out to the ring. They were chanting her name on Monday as well. And the way they set things up here at the end, we had Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. If we don't get enough Seth Rollins on Mondays, we had Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. CM Punk was in Chicago. And it was all to build to the return of his wife, the former Divas champion, for the first time since 2015, back on TV. AJ Lee is back. And in Chicago, of all places, it was the perfect setting for something like this to happen. This was like her first dance. Remember, Punk got that at the United Center. This was like her first dance. She came out. Thankfully, no Def Rebel special yet. But she came out. She got a monstrous, just insane reaction from the crowd in Chicago. Looking great. Not looking all that different from the way that she walked out in 2015, skipping on down to the ring. Becky Lynch selling this like she just saw a fucking ghost. And AJ Lee getting in the ring, mixing it up with Becky Lynch, setting things in motion for what we know is coming at WrestlePalooza, although not yet announced, a mixed tag team match with Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch taking on CM Punk and AJ Lee, a perfect attraction for that show. And I don't know how long she's going to stick around for. I would think it's more than just a one-off, but even if it was just a one-off, this was the perfect scenario for her to come back. And you know, as far as what tempted her to finally come back after all this time, because Punk has been asked about this in interviews and podcasts over the years. When's AJ coming back? When's your wife going to come back? And he's always, you know, clearly he wanted her to come back, but always gave the same basic answer where it's up to her. It's not my call to make. It's up to her. If she wants to come back, if she wants to get back involved, she'll be back. And if not, then she won't. But you wonder, if it's not money and it's not fame and it's not the allure of coming back, but it could just be a simple situation where she gets to work with her husband on TV. It could just be as simple as that. And for both of them, I'm sure this is just the most desirable position to be in here, because now they get to work together on TV and have fun. And that's what that closing segment was. That closing segment was a lot of fun. They gave people the happy ending that they were hoping for. The worst kept secret in wrestling? Absolutely. But, you know, for the people who were going to say, "Man, I wish they would have kept it a secret," they couldn't. There was no way. The fans were chanting this woman's name for over a week. The fans were willing it into existence. You would have to be an absolute moron to not have AJ Lee on the brain, either because the fans have been chanting her name and they've acknowledged it on TV, or just simple common sense. The way this story was building, it was inevitable, but it didn't take away from the moment. You listen to that reaction, that pop when her music hit and she walked out, it didn't take away from the reaction at all. And that will go down as one of the more memorable segments in SmackDown history. Now, also on this show, speaking of memorable moments, John Cena has made some memorable moments in Chicago. John Cena has made some memorable moments in that very building that they were in tonight. And this was it for him. This was not only his final hurrah in Chicago, but he confirmed that this was his last SmackDown, which kind of gives away some of the names he won't be working with in the few matches he has left and in his final match, which is coming up in December. I thought Drew McIntyre would make for a good opponent for him in one of these upcoming matches, and that doesn't look likely at this point, because how are you going to do that if this guy isn't even going to appear on SmackDown? Doesn't mean that they can't still have him wrestle someone from SmackDown, but if Cena's not going to be on the show, it just makes it difficult. So this was it for him tonight. You talk about going out there and getting a reaction. Punk got a reaction. AJ Lee got a reaction. John Cena got a reaction. Sami Zayn got a reaction. That was not the reaction I was expecting. We'll talk about that. But the John Cena stuff at the beginning of the show set up an impromptu match. We don't get these very often from him on TV. He actually wrestled. And not only did he wrestle tonight, he wrestled for a championship. We had not one but two United States Championship matches on this show in Chicago tonight that we will be talking about. And the John Cena stuff, including the match that he had with Sami Zayn, were the best parts of the show. Opening segment, or opening match slash segment, and the closing segment. That was it. That was SmackDown tonight. Everything else in the middle just felt completely inconsequential. And the commercials didn't help. I mean, they really did just butcher almost the entire show. And I understand they can't be avoided, but my God, it was as bad as it's ever been. Everything in the middle, and we'll talk about the other U.S. title match as well on the women's side. And what a shame that whole just situation is right now. But there was really nothing else on this show that anybody is going to be talking about outside of AJ Lee and John Cena. Those are the two key things right there. And we're going to talk about that as well as Brock Lesnar, who also made an impromptu appearance on the show tonight and ruined what was a great United States Championship match. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review for Friday, September 5th, 2025. I'm the Solemn Monster. Thank you guys for joining me here on a Friday night. Always the best way to end the week. First, Michael Cole and Corey Graves were the ones to open up the show, and Cole said that they would be the new SmackDown announce team for the coming months. So they are now on Friday nights. I would assume that means Joe Tessitore and Wade Barrett are moving over to Mondays, and that it has to do with Joe's college football commitments, because he's got to be doing college football every Saturday, at least, and maybe there's some Friday night games. I don't know about Fridays, but I would imagine that's why they've made this change, and when that season comes to an end, things will likely go back to the way they were. But Cole and Corey will be on Friday nights now, so just be aware of that. So after highlights from Clash in Paris last weekend, John Cena opened up the show for the final time here in Chicago, the very city, not only the very city, the very building where he debuted on this very show 23 years ago. When he walked out, he came to the ring to confront Kurt Angle, and he talked about ruthless aggression. And here we are now, 23 years later. He's a young, 48? Young 48 years old now. So a monster reaction for Cena when he came out here. And he took the time to absorb all the chants. Like, it looked like when you look at him, especially tonight on the show, like even when he initially walked out, like it's like he's taking a snapshot in his mind. Because I'm sure like some of these cities more than others, like it does mean, how could it not mean something to you? Look at the career this guy had in this company. Look at all the shit that he has done right? And all everything they put on his shoulders, and they made him the guy, and all the different matches that he's had, and the injuries, and everything that goes with having a long run on top the way that he did, it's got to mean something, because now he knows, like, he's only got like a little over half a dozen appearances left, and even less than that when it comes to actual matches. Things are winding down. They just announced today, now, his final Madison Square Garden appearance, you know, coming up on November 17th. His final Boston appearance, which will not be his retirement match, because that was the belief, that they were going to be doing that last Saturday night's main event in December in Boston. And that is not the case. That show, it sounds like that show is going to be in D.C. and not in Boston. So that was interesting. So anyway, he's taking the time to really absorb it. And try to enjoy it when he comes out. And he thanked the crowd for their kindness. He recalled when his farewell tour first began and people told him to enjoy it and have fun. And he said he was coming off a lot of bad years and he needed to get his mojo back, and he focused on leaving everything he had in the ring to prove to himself that he can still do it. He said tonight he had no plan. He came out here with no plans on what he was going to do, no plans on what he was going to say. He's going to wing it. And so that's why he was here tonight. Wanted to take it all in and have fun. He said, what makes tonight special is looking out into the crowd and seeing people excited. When years ago, he might have heard something a little bit different. Maybe some FU Cena chants. Cena told the crowd they were in for an exciting night. And he reminded them that this was his last time here in Chicago and his last appearance ever on SmackDown. Cena recalled 20 years ago walking to the ring on SmackDown and smacking Kurt Angle in the face, and how it all started this crazy ride. He recalled his favorite memories from Chicago, including wrestling Triple H. That would have been at WrestleMania 22. He also recalled wrestling CM Punk and Punk winning the WWE Championship from him and then taking the title and putting it in his refrigerator. And that kicked off the Summer of Punk in 2011. So the crowd begins to chant, thank you, Cena. Cena thanked them again. He wished them a great night. He was ready to go leave. That was going to be it. Before he could leave the ring, though, Sami Zayn's music hits. His music interrupted Cena. Sami comes out. The brand new United States champion. You know what I just realized? No MFTs on the show tonight. One of the things I liked about the show tonight, no MFTs. We didn't have Solo Sikoa and Jacob, or not Jacob, I wish we had Jacob. Solo Sikoa and Tala Tonga and JC Mateo and the great Tongaloa. Nowhere to be found on the show tonight. It's nice. We've been getting a lot of the MFTs. It's okay to get them off TV for a week. Or two. Or six. But Sami Zayn comes out, brand new United States champion, and you hear boos from the crowd. Now, at first, when they hit his music, that's when the boos started. But I didn't think it was boos necessarily. I thought they were like, at the beginning of his music, it's almost like the crowd's building up, and then it's like, let's go. So that's what I thought it was. But boy, was I wrong. Sami Zayn, he comes down to the ring, and you hear the boos. The people are booing him, and I have no idea where this came from. It's not as if Sami has been dealing with some boos in certain cities and certain places. Sami is a babyface. Sami is beloved by the WWE crowds. It's not even Cody in some places was getting some boos. You don't really hear that with Sami. So I'm like, I'm watching this, and I know it's Chicago, and I mean, whatever the hell that means. It's like, oh, it's New York. It's like, what the fuck does that mean? I hear people say that sometimes. But I guess you just never know how they're going to react. I was not expecting this. This was like, wow. I don't know where this came from, but okay. He interrupted Cena, but Cena was about to leave. So why boo the man? I don't know. Cena said that it was happy hour in Chicago, and he was there for the boos. Look at this. John Cena, if you could believe it, John Cena with a Duff's Vids joke. He's there for the boos, he said. Funny. Sami thanks Cena on behalf of the locker room for everything that he's done for them and everything that he has done for him personally. He recalled making his debut against Cena for the United States Championship. And I remember that as well. I remember that Bret Hart was there that night, and I remember that Bret Hart actually introduced Sami Zayn to the ring. This is when Cena was doing the U.S. Title Open Challenge 10 years ago, funny enough, the same year that AJ Lee last made her appearance. Bret Hart was there. They were in Canada, I believe. Sami Zayn came out, and he was all hyped up. This was the night that Sammy, he gets on the ring steps, and he's flailing his arms around so hard that he tore his fucking rotator cuff. And still, like, I think back to that, and I'm like, what must have been going through this man's head? Like, imagine you're in Sami Zayn's position at that exact moment, and you're about to get one of the biggest opportunities of your life, right? You're on live television. You're about to wrestle John Cena. First night on Raw, Bret Hart just introduced you. You're in Canada, and you're like, oh, shit. Because you know, you have to know instantly that something is wrong. And I remember, like, I think he relayed to Bret what had happened, and Bret went over to Cena to tell Cena, but he wrestled the match. And from what I recall, they had a really good match. So that actually was a very memorable, I guess for him, bittersweet, but it actually was a very memorable night. Even though it's like, you know, you can't recall everything that happened 10 years ago, but there are certain moments that are unforgettable. Flailing your arms around and injuring yourself, I would say, qualifies as one of those moments. But he said also what the John Cena U.S. Open title, Open Challenge, rather, did for him and others to get an opportunity. Sammy told Cena that with his permission, he would like to recreate his own U.S. title Open Challenge for the same reason. And Cena said he thinks that's a great idea. So Cena went to go leave, and Sammy stopped him and said he's going to offer him the same opportunity that he gave Sammy 10 years ago. Sammy said that he had one foot in the door 10 years ago, and he wanted to offer him the same now that he had one foot out the door. Sammy said, we're not going to do it a month from now. We're not going to do it next week. He wanted to do it right now. Now he gets cheered by the Chicago fan. Now they love him because, of course, they want the match tonight. Cena told him, you're on. And he called for a referee to come out to the ring, and they went to a break. This was a great segment. This was a great segment. Cena seemed genuinely moved by the reaction. It felt special because, again, it is his last SmackDown. I didn't know that it was his last SmackDown. I knew it was his last appearance in Chicago as an active performer. That I knew. I did not know that tonight was going to be his last SmackDown. So when he said that, that caught me off guard. So it was a special segment in that way. I like the interaction with him and Sammy. Again, I don't know what was up with the crowd other than just it was a very pro-John Cena crowd. And obviously during their match, they wanted to see Cena win and win the championship. So I can understand them booing Sammy, you know, even in the course of the match maybe. But the reaction to Sammy when he initially came out, that I was not expecting. And as far as him reviving the Open Challenge, I mean, look, I've made my comments clear in the past. We went through this period. It's actually calmed down recently, which is nice. But we went through this period not that long ago in the two companies, WWE and AEW. And especially in AEW, I feel like, where we were getting Open Challenges every single week. And it's not like they've all gone away, but it was happening so often, and it felt like it was just being used as a lazy crutch by people who didn't know what to do with the Intercontinental title or the TNT title or the US title, whatever it would be. And so we'll just do open challenges with all the championships. And it's like, what a lazy fucking thing to do, taking that concept and just beating it into the ground. And it was too much. I'm fine with an open challenge here and there, but like it just became too much. So it's kind of died down a little bit. And here I don't mind it just because he told John Cena, look, I loved when you did the U.S. title open challenge 10 years ago. And with your permission, I'd like to just recreate that myself, you know, basically asking for Cena's blessing. And Cena gave him his blessing. So I don't mind it so much. I mean, it's still, yeah, I wish they could come up with a solid story for him with that championship. Maybe out of one of these open challenges, something will come out of it. But I like that aspect that they at least drew parallels to the one, because the one Cena did was fantastic, you know, 10 years ago. And again, we'll see what happens as far as Cena's remaining opponents once he gets beyond Brock Lesnar. Because Drew McIntyre was on my personal short list of people that I think would have made for a great opponent or challenger for him. It could still happen. I just think it makes it a hell of a lot less likely given that McIntyre is on SmackDown. And if Cena is not going to be making any television appearances on SmackDown, that doesn't excite me. You know, him being promoted for a match against somebody that he's not going to be on TV to help promote, I think is a poor use of John Cena. So they may have just closed the door on a possible John Cena-Drew McIntyre match. On the other hand, if Gunther is back in the next, you know, couple of months, they could still do Cena and Gunther, right? Because Gunther's on Raw. AJ Styles is on Raw. So, I mean, they have options on Monday night. That would be fine if that's the direction they wanted to go in. But we had John Cena against Sami Zayn. This was a United States Championship match here as part of the Open Challenge. And the crowd was amped up for this match. Pro-John Cena all the way, very much anti-Sami Zayn. They wanted to see John Cena win that U.S. title. The match was joined already in progress as Cena and Sami locked up in the middle of the ring. Sami attempted a springboard leapfrog early on. It didn't go the way he wanted it to, but he hit a clothesline anyway. Sami whipped Cena hard into the corner, which got more boos from the crowd. Cena then threw Sami with a hard Irish whip that sent him flying into the corner. And it was back to another commercial. Picture in picture. This was not even 5 or 6 minutes since the last one. And they were already into another commercial. Now they returned with Sami being hoisted up by Cena for an attitude adjustment attempt. Champion escaped. Cena turned Sami's attempt at a springboard move into an attitude adjustment. He could not pick up the three count. As Cena recovered, Sami tried to hit an exploder. That got countered into a Kevin Owens-style pop-up powerbomb by Cena. Sami Zayn then missed a haluva kick after he recovered, and Cena caught him with an angle slam in slow motion. This was the slowest angle slam that you will ever see. But he hit an angle slam, which, according to Michael Cole, was a back suplex. And I watch this and I go, that is definitely not a back suplex, quote unquote. That is an angle slam. And I have no idea how this was lost on Michael Cole, because he just called it like another, like any other move. And Cole is usually on point with stuff. I mean, he's been there long enough. He's been there for all of Cena's career. He was probably calling SmackDown that night when he debuted against Kurt Angle. I don't know how it was lost on him that not only was it a angle slam, but it was tied into the fact that in this building, in this city, in his SmackDown debut, John Cena wrestled Kurt Angle. Somehow he missed that. Thankfully, Corey, he didn't. And so Corey did mention that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how Cole missed that point. So both men traded strikes until we got a double clothesline into a double down. And that took us into another picture-in-picture break. So here's the thing about this match. As much as I love this match, they absolutely butchered this match with commercials. And my bad, okay? It's my own fault because I have been using my ExpressVPN for all of these international shows the last few weeks. And the thought never occurred to me to use it for this show tonight. I was using it because I wanted to watch the shows early, or I, you know, I should have been, people were like, you should be watching it on Netflix with the VPN. You're absolutely right. I fucked up. But nonetheless, it was still quite ridiculous. And especially in the middle of this match. And this is why when they announced that Saturday night's main event was no longer being aired on NBC, I said that's a great thing. Because if John Cena is going to be wrestling his retirement match, imagine this was his retirement match and they go to break every 3 minutes. If they would have had his retirement match on NBC in December, it would have been an absolute fucking disaster. At least now, it'll be streaming on Peacock, and we should not have these mid-match interruptions in this way. So that show no longer being on NBC is a great thing. And this is why. So during the commercial break, I should mention the first commercial break earlier that they took, Sammy hit a Blue Thunder bomb that got a near fall. Cena got a Kurt Angle ankle lock applied during this commercial break. Sammy kicked free. Cena, though, got the STFU applied. I'm watching in the little box here. Cena got the STFU applied, and then Sammy worked his way towards the ropes. Cena drags him back to the center of the ring. I mean, we've seen that spot 1,000 times, but it made me think of the match with Punk in Chicago at Money in the Bank. He got Cena in the, or he got Punk rather, in the STF. Punk is inching towards the ropes. Cena pulls him back to the center of the ring. And I remember the crowd, I'll never forget, the crowd for that match was just absolutely out of their minds. That's what makes that match so special. I mean, that's a 5-star match. And so they did that spot here, and you can see that the people are losing their minds, but you can't hear a fucking thing. You can't hear anything. I hear a fucking Pizza Hut commercial is what I hear. So it would have been nice to hear, you know, as Sammy is struggling not to tap out, but you didn't hear anything. Unless, of course, you're watching this either internationally or with a VPN. But otherwise, we didn't get the sounds of this. We didn't get the audio here. When they came back full screen, they replayed what had happened. And the replay was then interrupted by Sammy hitting the Huluva kick. Cena, though, kicked out. Cena managed to then catch Sammy with a go-to-sleep here in Chicago. So you can imagine the reaction that got. Covered him. Sammy kicks out. Sami Zayn kicked out of a lot of big moves here in this match. He went full Super Cena in this match. So in the corner, Cena was sizing up Sammy, and he motioned for him to get up. And he's clearly paying homage to one of his all-time great rivals. In my opinion, his second greatest rival behind CM Punk, which is Edge. And, you know, because he's doing the Edge motion, he's losing his mind, he's freaking out, he's bouncing up and down in the corner. And then he comes out and he hits a spear. And Sammy kicks out. This led to Michael Cole mentioning Cena's past battles with the big dog, Roman Reigns. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Now, it's possible that Michael Cole was just out to lunch on this show tonight. Otherwise, how petty can you be that you cannot even mention Edge? Like, we just saw Clash in Paris. We got a Claudio. We got a Cesaro mention, okay? You mean to tell me that you can't say Edge or that Cole didn't pick up on him doing the Edge mannerisms? Because, again, he was going through, cycling through some of his greatest opponents, Kevin Owens with the pop-up powerbomb, right? CM Punk with the go-to-sleep. Edge with the spear. Cena had 2 matches, I think, in his entire career with Roman Reigns. One of them, the first one, wasn't really anything special, and the second one was even worse. That was at SummerSlam a few years ago. There's not some classic rivalry or feud, okay, between John Cena and Roman Reigns. But nevertheless, Michael Cole either didn't pick up on it, or you're not allowed to say, shh, not allowed to say the unmentionable word. So the fans picked up on Cena stealing moves from his past rivals. They started chanting, RKO, can we get an RKO next? And so Cena attempted one. Sammy avoided it. They ended up on the ropes where Cena delivered an avalanche attitude adjustment. He tossed Sammy halfway across the ring. And so now both men are down, and I'm waiting. Because when they do this spot, both men are down, it's late in the match, I'm thinking, okay, obviously, something is about to fuck up this great match that we are in the middle of watching here because neither man can be beat. So what's about to happen? Well, what's about to happen is what you would expect. You hear, damn, my terrible sound effect, and that is the cue for Brock Lesnar to come back out. How nice to see Brock after we saw him at SummerSlam a month ago. He was back on television here tonight. Brock walks out, cowboy hat on his head. And he takes his time coming down to the ring. I guess they added Chicago at the last minute to his schedule. He was supposed to be in Norfolk next week, which he will be. And then wherever the hell SmackDown is on the 19th, that's the go-home show to Wrestlepalooza. But I guess they added Chicago here as a late addition. He drags, literally drags the referee out of the ring, yanks him out of the ref or out of the ring, and he fucking crashes on the ground down below. Cena gets, Brock rather, gets in the ring. He picks up Sami Zayn. He delivers an F5. Then he picks up John Cena, and he delivers an F5. Then he picks John Cena back up again, and he delivers another F5 for good measure. And he looked quite pleased with himself before he left. Now, after a break, they showed Lesnar in the back walking through Gorilla, and we got to actually hear from Brock very briefly. Did we get an explanation here for why he has targeted John Cena? Oh, he looked into the camera. He said, "John Cena, see you at Wrestlepalooza, bitch." This fucking guy is stealing Okada's gimmick now. Now I know what he's been doing this entire time that he's been off. He's been exposed. I'll bet you're shocked to find out that Brock Lesnar has been sitting at home with his HBO Max subscription watching AEW Dynamite and Collision every single week. He's been taking notes about Okada's promo. You know what? I'm going to incorporate that into my shit. This Okada guy's pretty good. That was it. And they had the graphics ready to go. It was like a Tony Khan special where the graphics are ready to go, just like that. And it's Brock Lesnar and John Cena, Wrestlepalooza. The match is now official for September 20th. So there you go. There's your main event. Bam! There he comes. We all knew the match was coming. We all knew that we probably were not going to get an explanation. It's lazy as shit, but they don't give a shit because now they have a marquee attraction back in Brock Lesnar, who, by the way, the interference of Brock Lesnar completely ruined the end of this match. The match was thrown out. I guess no contest after 20 or 22 minutes, however long this match went. They got about 20 minutes added to the opening segment. This ate up the first 45 minutes of the show. And I think back to Clash in Paris when they opened with Roman Reigns and Bronson Reed, which didn't even start until 15 minutes into the show. Then you had a 20-minute match, and then you had a post-match angle, the beatdown on Roman Reigns, the stretcher job, which lasted almost as long as the match itself. By the time they got to the second match at Clash in Paris, we were into hour number two. It was completely ridiculous. Here, I didn't mind it so much that they ate up most of the first hour, right? It's television, so you're going to have a mix of segments and matches. And yeah, the Cena stuff, this being his final appearance there, it was a special thing. I enjoyed all of this up until the finish. I enjoyed all of this. The match itself was very good. And really, the match itself, it wasn't even like the match was some sort of technical marvel. That's not what these John Cena matches are meant to be. The John Cena matches now are just meant to be him playing the hits. And maybe his opponent, too, playing the hit. I mean, Logan Paul was stealing everyone's move. But that's what Cena's doing. He's paying respect. He's paying homage to people that he has worked with, that he has respected and admired and worked with in the ring over the course of his entire career. So in Paris, we got the callbacks to Cesaro and Dolph Ziggler, right? Just multiple. And there were like two other people, I think, too. And here tonight alone, Kevin Owens and CM Punk and Edge. And who knows who else he might work in. Who hasn't he? He hasn't done a pedigree yet, has he? He hasn't incorporated Triple H into his matches. Who else can John Cena incorporate? Some of John Cena's greatest opponents. Well, he did the Styles Clash in Paris. I forgot about that one. And so it's an experience, especially for the people who are there in the arenas and the buildings. But we're counting down the days, and he's going out there now and having wrestling matches that are far more entertaining to me than any of the shit he was doing after he turned heel earlier this year. Although, I'm not saying the match with Randy Orton was a bad match, and I'm not saying the match with CM Punk was a bad match. But now that he's back to being a babyface, he is able to go out there now and do certain things that you wouldn't be doing if you were a heel. And you put him in there with the right people. Sami Zayn certainly knows how to work. And you end up with what we got tonight. So I'm enjoying, what we've been getting from Cena. We got two fucking banger matches from him in the month of August. He just opened up September with another really good match. With Brock, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. One of my favorite matches was that first match back that Brock had in 2012 at Extreme Rules against Cena. Because it was unlike any main event that WWE had done at that time. It was different. It almost felt real. It felt like Cena is in like mortal danger, especially when he got opened up hard way, which is just so fucking dumb. It would be a lot safer to have him cut himself open than have Brock Lesnar fucking hard way elbowing him in the head. He did that with Randy Orton too. But that match was just crazy. And I love it. I love that match. The match at SummerSlam they had in 2014 was a very different kind of match, obviously. That was also very unique, something you would never see in WWE, where you would have a main event star doing a long squash in a pay-per-view main event. So again, a different kind of match. What we're going to get between these two here in 2025, Brock has not wrestled a match in over 2 years. John Cena is in the middle of his retirement tour, right? 48 years old. His body can't go the way that it used to by his own admission. Now he's in there with a guy who's not going to be doing the same things that, you know, Logan Paul was doing and Sami Zayn was doing. Brock's a different kind of performer. And so I honestly don't know what to expect here. I expect a lot of smoke and mirrors, but there's no disqualification stipulation. Right now it's just a straight wrestling match. It's not a street fight or anything like that. So I'm kind of curious what we end up getting. I don't know that it's going to be any better than some of the stuff we've gotten from them before. It'll be something interesting to see, for better or worse. I just don't quite know what to expect here from these two at this point. But yeah, this match here, really good stuff. If you didn't see it, it's definitely worth going out of your way to check it out. And also, interesting to see what happens next week and the week after that and the week after that. And I don't think it will, but if the reactions to Sammy in Chicago carry over, I'm going to assume it had to do with just, we're very pro Cena, you came out, we hate you. I don't expect that to be the case in Norfolk next week. If it is, that in the long run, that could end up being an issue, but I'm assuming that's going to be a one-week aberration. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You can find advice for everything these days. My God, I mean, good advice is one thing. That's great. But when you have people giving you advice about all sorts of things, they may not necessarily be qualified to be giving it. And when it comes to your mental health and well-being, you want to make sure that you're being steered in the right direction. That's why it's important to stick with trusted resources, like talking to live therapists who can give you personalized recommendations and help you break through all the noise. That's where BetterHelp Online Therapy can be an absolute game changer. Therapy offers a lot of benefits for your mental health when it comes to things like coping skills and stress management, relationship advice, even how to cope with trauma that you may have experienced in your life. It helps to talk to someone. And if you do, let it be someone who's qualified to be dealing with sensitive situations like that. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people across the globe. And many of those people can attest to how much it's worked for them, which is why BetterHelp has an App Store rating of 4.9 out of 5, based on over 1.7 million client reviews. It's also convenient. You can join a session with a therapist with the click of a button, and you can switch therapists at any time. BetterHelp is that trusted resource that you need in your life. Because look, we all have issues to deal with every day of our lives, maybe some of us more than others, but we all deal with it, big and small. And if it's something that's affecting your quality of life, you now have the power to actually do something about it. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Talk it out with BetterHelp. Solid Monster Sounds Off listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Solid Monster. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solid Monster. Now, Nick Aldis was in the back. Nick Aldis was speedwalking through the backstage area. It looked like he was in a hurry, maybe trying to catch up to Brock Lesnar, but he got interrupted by Carmelo Hayes. Now, of course, with all these big stars walking around here on SmackDown, you got John Cena, you've got Brock Lesnar, you've got CM Punk is in the building. He has no time for the Carmelo Hayeses of the world. And he's trying to explain this to him. And Hayes is like, I just want a minute of your time. I just want to talk to you. He was looking for a shot, right? Because it sounded like he was about to ask for a shot at the U.S. title. Which, by the way, I don't know why he would have to ask for a shot at the U.S. title now that there's a fucking open challenge going on. Just come out and accept the challenge. Like, Carmelo Hayes should be happy right now. Sami Zayn just announced that he is restarting the U.S. title open challenge. So if he wants a shot that badly, all he needs to do is be first at the curtain next week. And just walk out there, dude, and you'll get your shot. I actually think that would be kind of neat if at the end of all this, maybe someone like him answers the challenge and wins. But that's for like later on, though. But before he could tell Nick Aldis what he was wanting, Miz popped up and said, yeah, we want a shot at the tag team titles. And Aldis said that he would take it under advisement. Hayes was very frustrated because that's not what he was looking for. Meanwhile, they cut over and they show an SUV arriving at the arena. And who steps out but the women's intercontinental champion, Becky Lynch. She is in the house. After this, we had Aleister Black, who used to have a house of his own called the House of Black. One-on-one with Damian Priest. As Priest was coming out to the ring, Black ambushed him. And it turned into a brawl at ringside. Black caught Priest with a knee to the face that drove him over the barricade. And we got another commercial break. You know, I may have to start reviewing the commercials. What do you think? We may have to start incorporating commercial reviews into these shows. As they returned, Priest was in the aisle with officials. They were checking on him. He looked dazed and out of it, but he stormed back down to the ring only to get kicked in the head. Now with both men in the ring, they rang the bell to signify the official start of the match. The match hadn't actually started yet. So now the match is officially underway. After Priest missed the punch, Black took over with another kick to the noggin. Priest recovered with a surprise headbutt, and Black answered with a modified crucifix submission. Black took Priest down with a top rope meteora for a two count. And I shit you not, strike me down if I'm lying to you, they took another fucking commercial break. They had not even been back for a full 2 minutes. And they went to another commercial break. And this is where I realized that they must be absolutely terrified. Terrified of running out of time at the end of this show. Because USA no longer gives them an overrun. Can't have any overruns. You got a hard out at 10 p.m. And they obviously didn't want to run out of time for the closing segment. This whole show was built around the closing segment. And so we got to hurry up and get all the commercials out of the way early. So we got plenty of time for what's coming up later on in the show. So the action resumed with Priest attempting a razor's edge and a choke slam, but Black avoided both moves. He landed a kick for a two count. Are we at 457 likes? Look at that. Be the Booker unlocked. Now, can we get that bonus round of Be the Booker? We're at 5 out of 15 on that goal. So we'll see if we get there, but that's awesome. Priest fired back with a hard right hand, and he landed a series of strikes, splash in the corner, and then a big boot and a flying crossbody. On the outside, Priest cleared off the announce desk, and then he dropped Black onto the desk. With a razor's edge, the table did not break. Priest then went for a South of Heaven chokeslam in the ring. Black, though, grabbed the referee to prevent being taken up into the air. And in all the confusion that ensued here, he landed the Black Mass kick flush right on the jaw, covered him, and he got the three count. What I was able to actually see of this match, what little bit I saw, was solid. It was a solid match. Never felt like it got out of first gear. But it was a solid, you know, hard-hitting, you know, fairly even match. I feel like they gave more to Black, but, you know, mostly a fairly even match between these two with the right man going over. Aleister Black needed a win like this. They have done next to nothing with him on this show in the ring. Like, he'll get plenty of vignettes. He'll bump into somebody in the backstage area. So, like, he has a presence on the show, but I've been waiting for them to really get going with him against someone in, like, an actual real singles program. And tonight we at least had a proper wrestling match with him that went, you know, a decent amount of time. We need to see more of that. He's been back now for so many months. I mean, he came back after WrestleMania, right? So that would have been late April. It's now September. What have they really done with Aleister Black since he's been back? Not a whole hell of a lot. So I appreciate the fact that we actually had him wrestling against somebody with some name here on this show, and he won. It would have been a huge mistake for him not to win. My hope is that, because it definitely is not a case where this is over, especially the way they did that finish. So they're going to run this back at least one more time, maybe twice. My hope is that, you know, it ends up on a PLE at some point. That's what they did with Sheamus and Rusev, right? They had two matches. The deciding one, they threw on the Clash in Paris card. And look what happened. It ended up being one of the best things on the entire show. So with any luck, whether it's Crown Jewel, we'll see. Hopefully they are able to get it like a proper PLE match at some point to blow this off the right way. We got a Twisted Tea sponsored video promo with comments interspersed from both Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. And they exchange words about one another ahead of their match, which is going to be taking place next Friday night on SmackDown. They also mentioned that Brock Lesnar will be on next week's show live. So maybe we'll get our explanation then from Brock about why now. Why now? Maybe it's as simple as, you know what, John, I hear you're leaving. I can't let that happen. I can't let you leave without one more ass kicking for good measure. Right? Something. So I guess maybe next week we'll finally hear from him. And they also announced that Tiffany Stratton is defending her women's championship next Friday against Jade Cargill. So I like that they announced a bunch of things in advance and some big things too. I mean, Orton and McIntyre is a big match. The women's title match, I was wondering if they might save that for WrestlePalooza. They're going to do it next week. They've already said Brock is going to be there. So they've already, you know, set up a pretty big show next week. Them doing the Orton and McIntyre match on TV, to me, it all but confirms that they're going to go with Cody and Drew at WrestlePalooza. And obviously, that's going to be the direction, but there's been some talk about maybe he won't be, you know, done with Street Fighter stuff, and he may miss the show, and they might do Orton and McIntyre on that show in Indianapolis. The fact that they're doing it on TV next week, I mean, look, is it possible we get no winner and then they run it back at the PLE? It's possible, but the fact they're doing it next week tells me that we're getting Cody and Drew on that first ESPN show. I cannot imagine they want to go and have that first big ESPN show and not have the WWE champion defending his title on that show. We already know Seth Rollins is not defending the World Heavyweight title. You have to have a WWE championship match on that show. So not only will we get Cody and Drew on September 20th, but I would imagine next week we will get Cody Rhodes back on TV. That would seem like the perfect place for him to make his return and to target Drew McIntyre for what Drew did to him. Now, Kathy Kelly interviewed Tiffany Stratton backstage, and she talked about, you know, beating Jade in their match next week, just like she did at SummerSlam. They cut to Jade, who was watching the promo on a monitor in the back somewhere. Jade was then confronted by Nia Jax. This will never, ever end. Having Nia in this general orbit of Tiffany and Jade, it will never end. She showed up here. Jade told Nia that she could get in line for a shot at the title after she beats Tiffany next week, or we can go sort it out in the ring right now. And Nia chose to walk away instead. They also showed Becky Lynch backstage in Nick Aldis's office. Aldis wanted to know why she was there. He told her, look, I can't have any more issues tonight. And she said, I never cause issues. And she walked off. SAW in the chat says, Tiffany is the backstage women's champion. It feels like it, right? She is the backstage women's champion. We had Julia. Speaking of women's champions, we have the United States champion, Julia. And she has Kiana James with her in her corner, taking on Meechan. And I saw her walk out here and I just thought, holy shit. Do my eyes deceive me? Or is that Julia on my screen. I can't believe it. An actual Julia match. You would have a better chance of finding Bigfoot or Loch Ness than finding Julia wrestling a match and defending her championship on this show. So the fact that she actually wrestled tonight is a step up from what they've had her doing. But she's on her way out to the ring, and thankfully, we went to commercial 60 seconds into this. So I don't want to be too overwhelmed by this wrestling shit. So thankfully, they went to a commercial break 60 seconds into this. They come back from break. Both women are trading headbutts and German suplexes, followed by a double kick that left both women down. Meechan landed a cannonball in the corner. She went for eat defeat. Julia countered with a Northern Lights bomb for a two count. Meechan responded with a sit-out powerbomb for a near fall. So at this point, Kiana James gets up on the apron, because apparently Julia cannot beat Meechan without some help. Kiana James gets up on the apron. We got a very clunky looking spot here where Julia, I believe she fell into the ropes, like into the second rope, and Kiana had to sell it. And Kiana ended up basically draped over the middle rope from the apron, and Meechan dropped a leg on her. This just looked terrible. Unfortunately for Meechan, that left her open to Julia's arrivederci knee. And then Julia got the three count. And after the match was over, Kiana attacked Meechan and had to be pulled away by referees. Yeah. First of all, the crowd didn't give a shit about this. Crowd did not care. Crowd has not been given any reason to care. And that's what makes the whole Julia thing so sad. They were very quick and very eager to put a championship on her. And then the follow-up to that has been horrendous. And when Julia comes out and gets crickets, people notice this, and people will blame Julia for this. I'm sure it's already happening, but if it isn't, it will be soon. And people will be talking about how Julia is not over, this is not working, blah, 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 blah. Let me ask you a question. What has WWE done exactly to help get Julia over on this show, right? They threw a belt on her. They were really quick to do that. They put Kiana James with her, which I said, hey, you know what? This might not be a bad idea. Her representative, right? Or her mouthpiece. It's very clear to me that this is designed more to get Kiana James over than it is to get Julia over. That's number one. Number two, they are not accentuating what I feel are Julia's strengths. Julia should have come in here. And even her run in NXT, she had a nice, it wasn't that long, but she had a nice run in NXT. But what I think you need to really tap into here is that Asuka element. From when Asuka debuted in NXT, she was a killer. She was a killer. She would work, you know, kind of a little on the stiff side in her matches, but they portrayed her. And they did this with Shayna Baszler in NXT as well. So it's a formula that fucking works, but they portrayed these women like killers, right? And they're unstoppable. Nobody can beat them. They're vicious in the ring. That's what makes them different. That's what they needed to do with Julia. If you ever saw Julia wrestle any of her matches outside of WWE, I mean, that should have been obvious. Like, that's the right way to portray her on TV. There is nothing about her and her presentation that screams, you know, dangerous in the way that Julia used to be dangerous. There's nothing about her presentation that really would give anybody a reason to be invested in her, whether it's as a babyface or a heel, it doesn't matter. I mean, look, she's a beautiful woman. She's the beautiful madness, and she obviously can wrestle, and that's great. So can everybody else on the fucking roster. That's why they're on TV. Of course they can wrestle. What is it about them that separates them from everybody else in the division? They put somebody with her. So what? She doesn't do anything on these shows. So when she gets a fucking match, of course, nobody is going to react and nobody is going to care. People are going to sit on their hands and they're not going to give a shit. And the more that this continues, it will not work. And then eventually they'll take the title off of her. And who the hell knows what's going to happen with Julia? It just makes me sad. I was so excited, you know, oh, we're finally going to get Julia on TV. You know, what I've seen of her is really cool. She looks cool. And this woman is going to be a star, right? She just has that, whatever, that intangible, whatever it is about her, she can be a star. You know, in a similar way that Asuka became a star. She also had a certain charisma about her, but you were a little afraid of her. And Julia could have had that. She does not have that right now. They have watered down, they have neutered her. And they have to change that. She can be a real player in that division. She could have a solid run as the United States champion. There's nothing solid about what they have done with her so far since putting that title on her. It's been nothing but a complete disappointment. She could hardly buy television time on most weeks. People have no reason to care. They have no reason to care. And what they did here was kind of the bare minimum of what they can do. You know, your prototypical kind of get in and get out, you know, mid-card women's match here on SmackDown. Nobody will remember it tomorrow. Nobody has a reason to. Especially not with everything else that was on the show tonight. It was a complete afterthought. They had time to kill in the middle of the show, so this is what they gave us. But they're putting in the bare minimum effort. I don't see how that helps Julia. Putting a title on somebody isn't enough. It's what you do with it. The wrestler makes the title. The title doesn't make the wrestler. What they are doing with the wrestler right now is underwhelming. And it's unbelievable to me. When I look at the way that the U.S. title on SmackDown has been portrayed and booked and treated as compared to the women's intercontinental title on Raw. Becky Lynch was on SmackDown tonight. She's making appearances on both shows. Can you imagine Julia showing up on Raw? Who would care? But Becky Lynch, man, she's on Raw. She's in the main event segment. She's back on SmackDown. She's in the main event segment. She's having these killer matches with Lyra Valkyria and different people. And Nick, well, we won't mention Nikki Bella's match, but look at what they've done with Becky Lynch. Look at what they've done with Julia. You tell me. We got a video recap of the Secret Hervis last week, taking out Charlotte Flair's knee. Backstage live, Charlotte was, I guess, in the trainer's room, and she was lamenting her injury, her storyline injury, when Alexa Bliss showed up to play doctor, right down to a Dr. Lily doll, and to assure Charlotte that the power of friendship will heal her pain. Well, it was 2 minutes of my life I can never get back. Actually, even worse, after this, I heard, "Burn it down!" And I'm like, oh God, he's here. We get him on Mondays. We get the Vision enough on Mondays. Now he's on Fridays. It's Seth Rollins, the World Heavyweight Champion, making an unannounced appearance. And he comes out in the crowd. He strutted out. He was on like the concourse for the closing segment. But first, a commercial. They come back from commercial. Rollins said that tonight, he's still in the crowd. And Rollins says, tonight we would all be witnesses to history because the legend of Chicago's hometown hero CM Punk would die for good. And to do the honors with him, Rollins introduced his sexy, brilliant, incredible Irish wife, Becky Lynch. And Becky made her way out to the ring while Rollins stayed in the crowd. You know, I think, honestly, I am having commercial PTSD watching these shows. Because he said a few words here, and he introduced Becky, and I'm just like, I'm ready for it. Like, I'm ready for another commercial. I'm like, give it to me. Give it to me. I'm like, I'm thinking a commercial break is coming. I'm jonesing for one, you know? And then there was no commercial. I'm like, oh my God, I think we're done. I think we're done for the night with the commercials. I think we are. I'm losing my fucking mind watching these shows. So, Becky Lynch comes out, and the crowd showers her with chants of AJ Lee. And she says, how dare you chant another person's name while I'm standing in this ring? And she boasted about being the greatest women's wrestler of all time. And it wasn't just her saying it. She mentioned Sports Illustrated said it. I think Sports Illustrated said it. And then she started insulting all of the Chicago sports teams, one by one. So she said, the Blackhawks suck, and the Cubs suck, and the Bulls suck, CM Punk sucks, and all of you suck. So Punk entered to a massive reaction from his hometown crowd. He made his way down to the ring. Now, again, Seth is still in the crowd. So in the ring, it is CM Punk and it is Becky Lynch. Punk said that this wasn't about Becky, but rather her cowardly husband hiding up in a skybox. Well, he wasn't really in a skybox. Lynch asked how Punk's pride was feeling after what happened on Monday night. That was when she smacked him around a few times. Punk acknowledged the AJ Lee, because they kept chanting AJ Lee. And so Punk acknowledged it. He said her name. He did the thing. Before she even came out, he acknowledged the AJ Lee chants. He then asked Becky, do you actually think that I don't have shooters who wouldn't get into the ring and kick your ass? He called out his sister. My sister's here in the crowd. He mentioned Bailey. He mentioned Rhea Ripley. Maybe Rhea Ripley will show up and will kick Becky's ass. So basically, you know, by process of elimination here, he's eliminating all the options for who might be coming out here in the spot. So we knew it wasn't going to be Bailey, and we knew it wasn't going to be Rhea Ripley, and we knew it wasn't going to be CM Punk's sister. What an amazing surprise that would be if it was his sister. So he rules all of them out, basically. She slapped him again, smacked him right across the face, dared him to find somebody to fight her. So Punk leaves the ring. He starts speaking from the floor. He says that this crowd knows that he would never put his hands on a lady. But thankfully, he has somebody who will. And then it happened. AJ Lee's music hits. Her old music. The music that we last heard her using in WWE. I don't know if that probably wasn't Jim Johnson. That was probably CFOs at that point. But whoever did it, it was not Def Rebel. It was not some Def Rebel monstrosity. Not yet. Give it time. But for now, she still has her old music. And everybody in Chicago lost their minds. And this fucking building, they went nuts. Because it's been 10 years. And it's Chicago, and she's married to CM Punk. So, of course, they love AJ Lee. She comes out, and again, not unexpected, but just an insane reaction for her. And she looks great, and she skips her way down to the ring like it was 2015 all over again. And you hear, you know, light it up, light it up. Don't tell Travis Scott, he'll light it up. And so she sees Punk and kind of smiles at him because Punk is standing right there by the apron. And then she proceeds to skip all around the ring outside. Becky in the ring is just shell-shocked. She is selling the fear on her face. She's just gobsmacked by what she is seeing here. So AJ is absorbing all of the holy shit chants. She gets up on the apron. She gets in the ring. She's sitting on the middle rope like she used to do. And then AJ charges her, tackles Becky to the ground, and starts raining punches down upon her. Punches and bunches here to Becky Lynch. Becky tried to escape. Didn't work. AJ gave, she had her back on her feet. AJ licks her hand and gives her a nice smack right across the face. And then Becky is just flopping around like a fish. She rolls out to the ring. She bails to the, because now Rollins has come down, and Rollins and her, they bail down the aisle. Punk gets back in the ring, and AJ jumps into his arms as she did with so many other people when she was being pushed. All the angles that she did with fucking, remember Kane? Remember that episode of Raw where AJ came down with a Kane mask on? But I remember she jumped up in Kane's arms once. She did this shit with everybody. I mean, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. She was playing all kinds of mind games with them at one point and turning them against each other. I'm telling you, she was a main event featured performer on that show consistently for months. And some people maybe either weren't watching back then and don't realize it, or they may have forgotten. You know, it wasn't just that AJ was a Divas champion, right? Sure, she was the Divas champion and she would wrestle, you know, the other Divas. But she was one of the featured performers on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, but mostly Raw. She was the Raw general manager at one point. She was a key player on that show for a good 2 or 3 year period. She had a lot of fans. She had a big fan following. And she's been able to maintain that following, obviously, over all these years. So that played into the reaction that she got. It wasn't just some random person showing up here. It was somebody who, for a while there, was a big name on these shows that people grew up watching. So she jumped up into her husband's arms and they shared a kiss. At least I think they did, because the camera, it was the perfect moment, they thought, for the camera to cut away to show us Seth Rollins' face in the aisleway. Then they cut back to Punk and AJ in the ring, and that's how they went off the air. We got a fun, happy ending here to this show in front of the Chicago crowd. The worst kept secret in wrestling. Obviously, it didn't hurt the reaction to any of this. People still lost their minds. They were going to lose their minds no matter what. Look, it's hard to keep surprises in wrestling today. Somehow Cody Rhodes was able to keep it a secret that he and Brandy were having their second child. It's rare, but there are times where Brock even, right, at SummerSlam, there are times where we get a surprise that is genuinely a surprise. The way the storyline was done, things that were said on TV, it was going to be impossible. The fans themselves were chanting for AJ Lee. So again, you would have to just be not paying attention to not have AJ Lee's name on your brain coming into this show tonight. People were going to figure it out. People did figure it out. And as you saw here, it didn't take away from the reaction that she got. Becky, I thought, was great here. She sold the shock of it great. And the attack by AJ, I mean, she was selling it like fucking Holyfield was throwing jabs at her. So that was great. AJ is rocking more abs than her husband's got. So she's looking great. Easily the best part of the show was the closing segment here. Actually, I take that back. I'm sorry. Easily the best part of the show, the commercials. I thought the commercials this week were quite great. A step up from last week. That BK commercial, I'm a big fan of that. I can't wait to see what they come up with next week. So the commercials, easily the best part of the entire show. After the commercials, the return of AJ Lee. And after the return of AJ Lee, the John Cena stuff. And the match with Sami Zayn at the beginning of the show. In that order. Those were the best parts of the entire show. Everything else in the middle was just there. Priest and Black, again, solid match. But never really got out of that first gear. I know they're going to run it back again. Maybe with a stipulation. Maybe on a PLE at some point. It was a perfectly fine television match. But if you saw nothing else on this show, you missed nothing. You miss nothing. You watch the John Cena stuff at the beginning. It takes up the first 45 minutes of the show. And then you watch that closing segment. That is what SmackDown was all about tonight. You know, people were coming into the show saying this is like the biggest SmackDown of the entire year. You know, bigger than the post-WrestleMania SmackDown. It felt that way coming into this show. At a time when SmackDown has been very hard to watch. SmackDown has not been that good. If you're being honest with yourself, SmackDown has not been a fucking good show. This was a show where people felt like they were genuinely excited. Like they were actively looking for, oh, I can't wait to watch SmackDown, especially coming out of that tease on Monday. So I was looking forward to the show tonight. And the key segments that had to deliver, they did what they had to do. But you take one or both of those out, and boy, this show is in some trouble right now. And it doesn't help that they've been without the WWE champion now for, what's it been, 3 weeks? Maybe a month? Probably about 3 weeks, right? Since they did the injury angle with Cody. It's tough. John Cena is not on the show every week. John Cena is not on the show at all anymore. Brock is back, and Brock's part-time at best. Cody's been away filming his movie. Kevin Owens got hurt. It sucks he's not around anymore. Randy Orton barely shows up. You know, he's got that sweet schedule. Good for him, man. He's earned it, but it hurts the rest of the show. That's why we get the MFT so much. That's why they feel so overexposed. I mean, I'd be very happy for them to overexpose a faction if they actually had a story that was ongoing that was interesting. And for a while, that was the Bloodline until they ran that into the ground and they did everything they could with it. But for a while there, especially when Sammy was part of the Bloodline, that was appointment television here on this show, like episodic week-to-week television, developing stories and characters, and it carried SmackDown until it didn't. They don't have anything like that right now. The MFTs, they ain't it. They just don't have anything like that on this show right now. So tonight, the excitement level was there. I wish that it could be there like that every week. Next week, they've already announced McIntyre and Randy Orton. They've already announced the women's championship match with Tiffany and Jade. Brock will be there. So they've already told you there's some big things happening on the show next week. Hopefully, some of this can carry over to that. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll, the report card. How would you grade SmackDown from Chicago? 66% give this show a A grade. 23.8% give this show a B. Just 4.5% give this show a C. See, I would have given this show a C because, as the Cookie Monster would say, C is for commercials. And then 5.8% give this show a D. That's with almost 2,000 votes in. Look at that shit. So you can vote and follow along at Solomonster. 8 out of 15 on the bonus Super Chat goal. That's for the bonus Be the Booker. We're getting Be the Booker no matter what tonight. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. It's an experience a lot of men are terrified of. They look in the mirror one day and they notice their hair is starting to thin. It doesn't happen at the same age for everyone. For some, it happens earlier than others, but maybe it runs in your family. Maybe it's a hereditary thing. There are lots of reasons that it happens, but you see it and you think, well, that's it. My life is over. It's baseball hats for me from now on. Seriously, do you know how many men are walking around right now with a Mets hat on their head who probably couldn't even name three players on the entire team? They just need an excuse to cover up on top. But guys, you don't need to live your life that way. It happens way more than you think, and there is a way to reverse the problem. It really works with Hims. You can start regrowing your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months, so you can see a fuller head of hair in time for the holidays. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Why jump through hoops just to feel more like yourself? Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals within reach. There's no hidden fees. There's no surprise costs. Just real personalized care on your schedule. Think of Hims as a portal to another dimension, one where you get to be your old self again with simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for real health concerns all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your free online visit. hims.com/solomonster. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Take a look at your messages. Got some good ones in here. Retro says, most weeks I forget the MFTs even exist. How is that possible? They're all over these shows, dude. How do you forget? If there's one thing I can't say, it's that I forget about the MFTs. They don't let me forget about the MFTs. It's impossible to forget about the MFTs. What show are you watching? We kick off here with Death Scythe. I hope you're having a good night. Jacob Fatu recently was a guest on the Rich Eisen show and said that he would like to have a match with Jeff Hardy one day. What are your thoughts? I would love to see that match. I know Jeff had a great feud there with Umaga. You know, another member of the Dynasty there who could work his ass off. They had some great matches together. So I know Jeff's, you know, a lot older now than he was then, but I think a Jacob Fatu Jeff Hardy match, I think would be good. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I'd be in favor of it. Holiday 197. Hey Solo, Cena is scheduled to appear at Survivor Series on November 29th. Then there will be a 2-week gap until his last match on Saturday night's main event on December 13th. Curious how they will build his last match with no TV show appearances. Yeah, I have no idea what they're going to do as far as the opponent or how they want to build it up. Are they going to announce an opponent? Are they going to save it as a surprise? We don't know. We don't know how they're going to work it. One thing we do know is that John Cena will not have any input into it, because John Cena is always reminding us when he does interviews that he doesn't lobby for opponents and he just shows up to work and does what he's told. So it comes down to whatever Triple H and the creative team want to do with John Cena. They did him dirty with that heel turn, so I don't trust them. Terrible Dry Chicken, I am convinced WWE's philosophy is still the same with or without Vince. They only cater towards an audience of one. Who is the audience? It is the almighty dollar. It's usually how a business works. I mean, I don't know why you're shocked by this. It is indeed the most important thing to them, but I don't know why anybody would have expected that that would be any different now. Joseph Stewart, happy birthday to the legend and icon Michael Keaton. And happy 33rd anniversary to Batman the Animated Series. Yes, happy birthday to Michael Keaton. Still my favorite Batman. Also, buy or sell The Mask or Ace Ventura, The Mask. Holiday 197, the fact that Meechan kicked out of Julia's Northern Lights suplex is exactly why the women's U.S. title scene is problematic. Then to drag the feud on, I guess that's the end of the message. Yeah, the Northern Lights bomb didn't win it, but the Arrivederci knee did. I think it should be the other way around. Northern Lights bomb should be how she is finishing off these opponents. Or at least you want to have a couple of different finishes, that's fine. But yeah, for Meechan to kick out of that in just a nothing match on TV was very stupid. Dry Chicken says, need more title belts in WWE. The roster is bloated with talent. They got nothing to lose. US and Intercontinental titles aren't valuable. AEW, Ring of Honor, TNA, AAA, CMLL, New Japan, and other promotions have lots of title belts. Champions don't feel devalued. They're less overexposed. Yeah, I couldn't disagree with you more. Like, you're so wrong on that. It hurts. It hurts my soul to hear you say that you think we need more belts in WWE. We do not need more belts in WWE. Why would you think that WWE needs more belts when they are showing you that they barely know how to book the current belts that they have? You think adding more belts, they're going to suddenly get better at booking those belts? Are you out of your mind? Did you not hear what I just said about Julia? Did my feed cut out when I was talking about her match? I mean, dude, come on. You think that they add more mid-card championships, that that's going to help? It's going to make things worse. That's the last thing they need. Let them book the existing championships the right way before they even consider adding more championships. I think that would be a terrible idea. They want to buy more belts to hold up their pants. That's fine. Championship belts? Absolutely not. He also says, CM Punk told AJ Lee, I have the time of my life and I owe it all to you. CM Punk and AJ Lee are going to have bad ideas for both Seth and Becky. Did AJ... I don't even think AJ had a finish. Did she have a finishing maneuver? I don't even remember. Dennis Hickey. Hey, Solo, love your videos. Have you watched Dexter or Dexter Resurrection? If you did, what was your opinions on it? No spoilers. You know, a good friend of mine was a big fan of the original Dexter series. I never watched it. Although, there was some... Now, was there one or two spinoff or prequel series? Because I know one of them just got canceled. And it apparently the first season was very well received and did well. And they just announced that after announcing it was greenlit, I think, for a second season, they just announced that, in fact, it's canceled because they're trying to save money. But no, I haven't seen any of the Dexter shows. Anthony Wolf, hey Solo, signed up for a VPN with your link. and watched SmackDown for the first time in years. Thanks for the help and all you do. Well, that's very cool, Anthony. I'm very happy to hear it. I should have remembered to do that tonight. Because I, too, am paying for that VPN, and it is a great resource, and it would have saved me a lot of commercials tonight had I used it to watch this SmackDown show. That link, by the way, is in the description down below. You too, can take advantage of it. Only if you're a Sound Off listener. Birthday boy. At this point, WWE is unwatchable, and AJ's return changes nothing. But they can't have two AJs, so how about we get Styles and AEW? We're the best wrestle. Hey, dude, he had the chance to go. When his last contract was up, he had the chance to leave and go to AEW. He's got friends there. He opted not to go. Orioles peak with the $10. Let's see if we're caught up here on this list so I can start scrolling. Nope, not yet. Still got some early ones here. Orioles peak. Thank you for the 10. Says between Naomi, Nikki, Alexa, Trish, and AJ Lee. That's why I never listened to anyone who disrespected the Divas era. They never suffer from lack of talent. They suffered from lack of opportunities. Well, it was a lack of opportunities and in some cases a lack of talent. Not necessarily in the names you've mentioned, but there were definitely some women in the ring who had no business being in the ring. Broly7 says it took Becky for something interesting with the women to occur on SmackDown. They desperately need help, and a draft compared to Raw is night and day. There is no draft needed. Broly, there's no draft. You don't need a draft. The draft is a dead concept. You can move the chess pieces around anytime you want to. You can have trades between the two general managers. We do not need a draft. At least not the way they used to do it. Because those draft TV shows that they do are fucking boring. I don't ever want to see a draft show for the rest of my life. Orioles peak. Bring Total Divas and the Divas Championship back. Orioles peak. I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. Alex with a $10 super chat. What's going on, Alex? Alex says she may not be the greatest female in-ring wrestler, but AJ Lee's charisma and personality is generational. Fantastic opener and closing segments. And thank you for another excellent review. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate that. Jack Glancy with a learning tree. Let's all thank Jungle Jackoff, Tony Clown, and the Young Cucks for making this possible. AJ is still and always will be fine. CM Punk is a lucky SOB. He married well. He married well. Bobby Means. On September 20th, it's AEW's All Out versus WWE's WrestlePalooza. After the results of tonight, I'm afraid All Out is officially on life support. Well, they're no longer head-to-head directly. Actually, they will be, but only briefly now. I'll have a lot more to say about that on the Sound Off this weekend. Deathscythe, if we get Punk and Cody at WrestleMania one of these years, do you think that it could potentially be this generation's Rock Austin at WrestleMania X7? I don't. I don't like making those comparisons. I mean, like, what does that even mean, right? Austin Rock at WrestleMania 17 was an excellent match. Does that, are you saying that Cody and Punk will have an excellent WrestleMania main event? Probably, yeah. I would hope so. Comparing it to Rock and Austin, though, is it going to be remembered 20 years from now as the greatest or one of the greatest WrestleMania main events of all time? Probably not. Is it going to be a generational match? Probably not. But, like, I hate even making those comparisons. Holiday says, I believe that if they do Seth and Punk at WrestleMania, it has to be inside Hell in a Cell to close their feud. I mean, I could see it. I don't know. I mean, we did that with Punk and Drew. Do it again with Punk and Seth. I mean, you could. It would have to have some kind of stipulation, I agree. I don't know that it has to be Hell in a Cell, but Hell in a Cell is a stipulation that should be used to blow off a big blood feud. So, I mean, it fits the criteria. Dev to Dust. Why are the Jets and Giants called the New York Jets and New York Giants when their stadium is in New Jersey? Because we don't have one in New York. I don't know what to tell you, brother. I didn't name the teams. Base Beerus says, light it up. Broly 7. Have the same person writing for the women on Raw to write for the SmackDown. They lucky Tiffany is over. Otherwise, she would be in the same place as Julia. Yeah, the women's scene right now on SmackDown is it's quite desperate. It is quite desperate. Death Scythe, why can't wrestlers just do what Randy Orton once did when Def Rebel tried to change his music and tell them to fuck off? You're not changing my music. Because that's Randy Orton. Most wrestlers are not Randy Orton. So they're not going to be able to... Look, dude, even Sheamus can't get his old music back. He finally gave up. They gave it back to him for like 2 weeks and then they took it away from him. If Sheamus can't get his music back, what makes you think that some of these people on the roster are going to be able to get their music back? There's no way. They have no chance. Curtis Talley with a 1999. Michael Cole missing the angle slam in Edge's spear in Cena's match was a little frustrating. Yeah, it was like, dude, are you watching the same thing that I'm watching? Like, the angle slam, which is funny because he just called it like a back suplex, like it's just another move. And Cena took, you know, about 5 business days to actually get him up and over for the move too. So he had plenty of time to realize what it was that he was watching there. Tub Thumper. I haven't watched a full wrestling program in years. For AJ Lee, I watched a full wrestling program tonight. Yes, but Tub Thumper, what did you think of the show overall? You said you haven't watched a full show in years. Now you did. You didn't give me your review of the show. Fire Panda. Always good to hear from Fire Panda. I appreciate that. Top bomb tonight from Fire Panda. Somewhere a 12-year-old panda, a very, very happy, or is very, very happy to see AJ Lee back in WWE. Oh, based on what we heard there in Chicago tonight, I would wager that there are a lot of people who are very happy to see AJ Lee back in WWE. Death Scythe. I also hope we get Cena Fatu, and if anyone says we can't because Fatu is on SmackDown and Cena is on Raw, to that I say, what brand split? Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, people mention the draft. I'm like, why? They're going to do what they want anyway. The hell do you need a draft for? Just you want to shake the rosters up? Shake them up. You don't need a draft to do that. People are going to go from one show to the other regardless, so it doesn't matter. Holiday says, if Rhea wins the world title at Crown Jewel, Io Sky should be traded to SmackDown. Nia can be traded to Raw or Jade if she doesn't win the title. They're going to have to make some kind of move here because SmackDown needs help more than Raw does right now. And then we'll see also once Bianca comes back, where does Bianca Belair fit into things? Mark Martinez, I think it'll be Brock, then AJ on Raw, Dom at Survivor Series since it'll be in San Diego, and Gunther, as seen his last matches. Been listening since 2012. Thank you, Mark. 13 years, a long time. You know what? I could see that. I could see AJ as a Raw match and even something with Dom. I could see that too. So I think you may be onto something there. Donnie Yasu says, I'm just an AJ Lee mark. I don't give a fuck. You don't got to apologize to me for that. We got a lot of AJ Lee marks in the chat tonight. We got a lot of AJ Lee marks all over social media tonight. Windsor guy, 22. AJ Lee looked jacked tonight. So glad to see her back. She deserves it. I hope she enjoyed that moment and was able to take a minute to soak it all in. It looked like she was. Looked like Punk was happier than she was. He looked like a proud man out there. Nick Grosso says, if Rhea Ripley doesn't face Asuka at WrestlePalooza, would it be a good idea to make her either guest enforcer or guest referee? The Io Sky-Stephanie Vaquera match, just to make sure nobody interferes. No, because that would be very unfair to Stephanie Vaquera. That would be unfair to Vaquera. Rhea Ripley and Io Sky have a friendship that has played itself out on television. Now, if I were Stephanie Vaquera and you said to me, you're going to make my opponent's friend the referee for the match, I would say, fuck you, no you won't. Because that's very unfair. Wouldn't really make a lot of sense. It would be a way to get her on the show, but it wouldn't make any sense. Duff's Vids, how many people died on the Titanic? A boatload. Christian says hi. Hello. TLA, Mark Bannon. Who's your favorite wrestler who had a second run? I mean, Shawn Michaels is probably at the top of the list. Look at the second run that he had. Find me a better second run than him and the matches that he had during that run. Mark, thank you, though. Duff's Vids with a $4.99. Why was the whale sad? It couldn't find its poipus in life. Poipus.
You suck.
Couldn't find its poipus. DJ Blind, was this the best SmackDown ending ever? No. No, it is not. It's funny enough. He says, it's up there with the ending in 2001 when everyone gave their finishers. Heady gets a survey. Dude, you just answered your own question. That is still the greatest ending. I'm happy for AJ, though. But no, it is not the best ending ever. Dev to Dust says, remember when every New Yorker used to sound like Robert De Niro and Harvey Keitel? See, I'm proof positive that every New Yorker does not sound like that. Not every New Yorker does not sound like Vince Russo, bro. I'm proof of that. Dry Chicken says, this is a low bar here, but this... he says he would take his chances of watching Ash by Elegance and AJ Francis on TNA over SmackDown's creative. Good luck with that. The bar may be low, but let's not take it down to the basement quite yet. Duff's Vid says, my dentist pulled out the wrong tooth. He said it was accidental. It's just awful. Holiday says, predicting Charlotte or Alexa... accidental. Predicting Charlotte or Alexa wins the women's U.S. title next in Charlotte / Alexa feud for the title into WrestleMania. At least it is wishful thinking. At least it would bring some level of prestige to the United States Championship. I don't hate it. Retro KOH, sorry to say, but I fully expect AJ gets def-rebelled by WrestlePalooza. If not on the night of... sorry, I don't make the rules. F Def Rebel. So what's the opening kind of salvo going to be for AJ's new theme? Light it up. And then some awful electronic instrumental generic garbage. Boomerang, when I heard AJ Lee's music hit, I heard Bobby Heenan in my head go, "You're in deep doo-doo tonight, pal." Yeah, I thought you were going to say you heard Bobby Heenan in your head go, "Yeah, but whose side is she on? Whose side is she on?" Duff said, "Man, that was a slam dunk there. It was right there, man. You should have taken the..." Anyway, Duff's vids with a 999. Man, Duff. Duff's is flexing some muscle here tonight. "I went to the beekeeper to get 12 bees. I counted and he gave me 13. I said, 'Sir, you gave me an extra bee.'" He said, that's a freebie, son of a bitch. Thank you, Duffs. Yeah, we got to figure out what the beginning of this new AJ Lee music is going to sound like. Maybe somebody like all the way in the back of the room or something.
Light it up. Let's light it up.
I don't know. We'll have to come up with something. Irenzo, what if the match with Lesnar, Cena, is able to squash him as kind of a get-back for SummerSlam? John Cena in 2025 is not squashing anybody, dude. I think that would be a huge disappointment. I mean, some people would love to see Brock get squashed, but as a pay-per-view main event, 48-year-old John Cena is not squashing anything except the bug beneath his boot. That's about it. MacTub, do you think Orton should have won at WrestleMania 25? I do, because there was really no need for Triple H to win there. And with Orton going over as the heel, you don't close the show with that. Instead, you do the smart thing, and you close the show with the real main event, which was Shawn Michaels against The Undertaker. So that way, if you're not ending with the WWE Championship match, because Vince was, not every year, but like most of the time, he was very big, especially at WrestleMania, with giving people the happy ending. In addition to whoever else he was giving the happy ending to behind the scenes. So in that case, if Orton was going to go over as the heel, co-main, and then you close with Shawn and Undertaker. But Randy Orton during that period in 2009, he was just a fucking menace. That was probably the best incarnation of Randy Orton. I wouldn't have beaten him. I would have let him keep going. We've got Whiteface with a 999. AJ getting the backstage vid of her signing her new WWE contract with Triple H, gleefully smiling the whole time. Suffice to say, she is back. So many daughters of her on the current roster. So is that a video that they put? I have not seen that video yet. So is that a video that was posted? So she has signed a contract. Or so saith that super chat. Yeah, no, there it is. There is indeed video of AJ Lee signing a contract. So she's back. I don't know if that means full time, like every single week, but she's back. Good for her. The real CSO2. I agree. WWE needs to do more with her, but people's complaint that Julia doesn't get TV time, but when she does, people still complain. It isn't setting the world on fire, but it's still TV time. Dude, it's shit. Come on, dude. Don't make any excuse. Please don't make excuses for them. Don't make... Oh, it's still TV time. Sure. Dude, I could take a shit, and I could put it on a piece of paper, and you could put it on the floor, and the camera can zoom in on it, and you can give that 4 segments on the show, right? It's still shit. It's getting TV time, but it's still shit. Don't make excuses for them. Powerful one. Moments like that are what pro wrestling is all about. It makes it the coolest thing in the world. Welcome back, AJ Lee. It was a very cool moment. They're very big on moments. And I do agree that it's really the moments are what people remember. Whether it's a moment during a match or it's just outside the ring, if it's in a promo segment, if it's a return, if it's a debut. The Juliet 316 just saw your tweet on the ban on non-compete clauses not happening. I can't say I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm not surprised either. Dry chicken without flavor, but Juliet, thank you, brother. Juliet's also with us every single week. Dry chicken with a five. Sometimes I just want to pull a Naito when it comes to the WWE title belts. Just throw the belts in the air or drag them, right? Just throw them in the air, just drag them on the floor behind you. Dirty them up a little bit. Sorry, Roderick. Enjoy your dinner, though. I'm sure it's delicious. Hopefully he's not having, meatloaf or anything. Mark says, do I see AJ winning another title? If so, which one? I could see AJ winning the Intercontinental title at some point. I don't know. I'm just hearing about this contract that she signed, so I will have to find out what the nature of it is. Is it a part-time deal? Is it a Legends deal? I don't know. That will dictate whether or not I think she will win a championship again. Don't know the answer to that yet. The Boss Mo Jackson with a pair of super chats. Hello there, brother Solo. Hope all is well. I hope all is well with you as well, Boss Mo Jackson. Not an AJ fan. She's more character than wrestling. She is. But we need that on the show as well. Can't just be, it's all great wrestlers and no substance beyond that. You know, with some people, that's the case. They're great wrestlers, but there just isn't much else there. You know, or maybe they just haven't had the chance to show off their personality. These television shows, they need interesting personalities. I would much rather have an interesting personality on these shows than someone who's a fantastic wrestler and bores me to fucking tears. And maybe it's just how bad some of these weekly shows have gotten, that my patience is just worn thin, that there's just so many weeks go by and these shows, I mean, you can get great matches. We get great matches every week, but like, give me something that grabs me. Give me characters that are fun. Or just interesting in some way, and we don't get enough of that. We get some of that sometimes, but we don't get enough of that. But I would rather have characters like that have charisma, that can be, you know, engaging in some way. And if she or he is not the best wrestler in the world, if they're just okay and serviceable, that's fine. Because you know what? There's tons of great wrestlers out there. There's plenty of great wrestlers out there. But what we see on these shows each week has to be interesting enough to get you to want to tune in the following week to see those people and to see the stories that they're involved in. And if they're boring as shit, then that doesn't really do anybody any good. Powerful one, though. Thank you again. Dropping a $10 super chat. How many women on the roster do you think grew up watching and idolizing this woman? AJ Lee is to them what Trish, Lita, and Chyna were for many of us. She's going to have a nostalgia run for the records. Yeah, I mean, there were people who came up during that Total Divas period, even though AJ was not a total diva. She actually cut a pipe bomb on the Total Divas. But they became fans during that period, and they probably became fans of hers. And so to them, especially, her coming back brings them back to that time. And it's exciting for them. You know, I'm happy to see her back because I always found her to be a fun character on the show. You know, she added to the show. You know, she can talk. I found her to be one of the more interesting female personalities on the show. And she was different than a lot of the other divas that were on the show. I'm glad to have her back. Doesn't have to be the best wrestler in the world. You know, she was fine. But she's a personality that I think will help, I would hope, help enhance the shows with what they do with her. DJ Blind, you forgot the White Sox, man. Six in a row that they've lost, or six in a row that they've won. I'm going to assume that they've lost. Alexander, where in the world is Ilya Dragunov, Diego? I don't know, man. I could just picture Ilya. Maybe that's his new gimmick when he gets back. He's like the male version of Carmen Sandiego. Where in the world is Ilya? Oh, we're at 14 out of 15, by the way. I just noticed on that bonus Be the Booker goal. We got one more there, and we're going into bonus rounds. The Boss Mo Jackson, I never got into the AJ character. She's okay. Well, maybe she'll get you into the character this time. It's been 10 years. Maybe she's got some new material to work with. Arabian Night, too. Well, she got a whole new roster of women to work with. That's for sure. Arabian Night 2000, the misuse of Julia should be studied. Crowds don't care. Triple H dropped the ball on one of the most talented female wrestlers in the last 5 years. Shaking my head. The woman is money. They just haven't been able to tap into that yet or feature her in a way where she can be looked at on that SmackDown brand, truly is one of the top stars on that brand. And she should be at a time when SmackDown, you compare the SmackDown women's situation, roster, whatever you want to say, to what we have on Raw. I mean, Raw clearly has the edge right now. But given the state of SmackDown, Julia should be like top three right now. Like, or top three, top five. She's not even there. I don't care what title you put on her. She's not even there yet. I know she can get there, but the fact that she's not, and she's been up now for several months, is frustrating. Also, he says, we're getting ads galore on WrestlePalooza, like Saturday night's main event. God, I hope not. But you know what? I don't know. It's ESPN now. The ESPN app. I don't know what it's like on there. I wonder how many people are going to be severely confused when they put the actual ESPN channel on, expecting to see WrestlePalooza. And then they realize, because my understanding is it's not actually airing on ESPN. They keep saying ESPN because that's the name of the, you know, direct-to-consumer service. I think you're going to have some very confused people. The Boss Mo Jackson, Lesnar F5-ing anyone at his age is still fun to watch. He gets some height on it, man. They go flying through the air. Deathscythe, who do you think had the scariest Titantron video? For me, it was Chris Benoit. And it's even more unsettling now, given the circumstances. Oh, is that the one where he would just like, he would scream? It was just like his head and he was like screaming and shaking. Yeah, that's pretty weird. The scariest? Probably Steve Blackman, man. If I saw that, it's just various clips of Steve Blackman with the, they weren't nunchucks. They were, I don't know what you would call them. It's like sawed off kendo sticks. If I saw that and I knew he was coming out, I'd be pretty scared. Tuxedo T-Servo WWE has video of AJ and Punk after the show. AJ danced around with the IC title, kissed it, and then left with it. Punk was having a great time. See, so there you go. I mean, I could absolutely see her winning the Intercontinental Championship at some point. Will Mantic, I've been listening to you since June of 2012. Says, I used to donate in the website. You used to give names, called me Luis Hercules Hernandez. Do you still have that website? I don't know what website you're talking about, but Luis, I remember you, brother. I remember Hercules Hernandez. We haven't heard you in the PayPal roll call for a while. I thought you disappeared on me. But of course, I remember you. Hope you're doing well. It's good to hear from you. Jeremy Dyer, thoughts on Matt Riddle's comments on AJ Lee? I thought that, first of all, I don't know why anybody was even asking him about AJ Lee. Or whatever show that was. It was TMZ that he was on. And I thought it was disgusting. And completely uncalled for. Robert Lee says, double be the booker. Ah, yes. I just noticed. We did. We unlocked the goal. We unlocked the bonus rounds. Awesome. Powerful one. Very few women on the roster, or all time, really, who could cut a promo and talk people into the building like AJ could. I'm sure she still can. She had a way on the microphone that not everybody did. And that, I think that is what I am looking forward to also. Getting that first kind of in-ring promo segment with her and Becky. Because we've seen what Becky can do as a heel. I mean, it's one thing, like tonight she was insulting the sports teams. That's low-hanging fruit. But I think Becky, for the most part, has been really good when it comes to, you know, like her promo work during this heel run. Put her in the ring with AJ on Monday and let him go back and forth. That's what I'm looking forward to. See how that goes. Paul Carpenter, remember the Slickster, married AJ and Daniel Bryan. My God, I forgot about that. Was it Slick? I think it was. I forgot about that. Navy 4181. With the $9.99. That used to be the cost of the WWE Network. Boy, it's a lot different now. Remember when the network was just $9.99 a month? You got all the pay-per-views. You had the library, or part of the library. They had actual original programming on there. The Edge and Christian show. What was the full name? The Edge and Christian show that reeks of awesomeness? They had that cartoon Camp WWE. They had story time. He says, in 2002, if Hogan ended up as champion with the NWO, do you think he would have spray painted the Big Eagle belt? I've seen some impressive AI images of that done to the Winged Eagle already. Do not deface the Winged Eagle. Sacrilege. I don't think they would have spray-painted the belt. Oh, Ride Along. Yeah, Ride Along was another one. Table for Three. I'm telling you, man, we didn't know what we had with that network. They actually had really good original programming to go with the archival content and then the pay-per-views for $10 a month. Like, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. Angel Mexicanos with the $4.99. No message, just showing some love. Angel, thank you, man. Your super chats are very much appreciated. They are the lifeblood of this channel. I very much do appreciate it. The Boss Mo Jackson says, EO, who's the greatest tag team ever? EO? I'm not sure what she has to do with it. Greatest tag teams, though, man. The two that will always be first and foremost on my mind when I get that question, Demolition and the Hart Foundation. For other people, it might be the Road Warriors. It might be the Steiner Brothers. It might be the Dudley Boys. It might be the Hardy Boys. It might be the Usos if you're a newer fan. Demolition or the Hart Foundation. You can't go wrong. That guy, Jaeger, Brother Solo. Did you take one more step with Bully? I can't spoil it. You got to find out yourself. He was getting pretty hot at me, though. But I said the full thing is on the YouTube channel. House of Glory Wrestling. It just went up earlier today. You can go check it out. Ryan Armstrong. AJ Lee's finisher, the Black Widow. Oh, that's right. Yes, thank you. The Octopus, that was her finish. Powerful one, Becky and AJ on the mic. I'm picturing Roman Cena in 2017. No, Becky could hold her own. I think AJ would too. I don't think so. Roman was just woefully unprepared, and he was completely just destroyed. He was verbally eviscerated and just embarrassed by John Cena on the mic that night. I don't see that happening with Becky and AJ at all. And Devin from NJ, 2000. How would Solo have ended the Elimination Chamber from this year? Would it be Cena winning the chamber or still doing some kind of angle at the end? I think it would have been Cena winning the chamber. And then if you were going to turn him heel and had a good plan for it, do the heel turn at WrestleMania. It wouldn't have been ideal to build up to a match like Cena and Cody as baby faces because they're so much alike and they're kind of vanilla. So I didn't really like that idea, but like you look at it back in hindsight, if they would have saved the turn for Mania, it would have been a lot more impactful. But then comes the follow-up to that, and the follow-up wasn't great. So I wouldn't have done it at all. But if you were going to progress in the direction they ultimately went in, just end the Elimination Chamber with Cena and Punk as the last two in there. They go at it for a little bit, and Cena wins the chamber, and you get that feel-good moment at the end of the show. They went for the shock factor, and that was great. As a moment, it was fantastic. We will look back on that moment, though, and people will not look back at it in the way that I think when it happened, people thought they would look back at it. Because you do think about what came next, and what came next sucked. That could have been, you know, people think, oh, this is a generational. That could have been a generational moment in WWE history. It was a great moment, but in retrospect, that's all it was. That's all it was. It ended up meaning nothing. Holiday 197. Tiffany has been champion for 8 months, and her run has been blasé. Although she hasn't feuded with many top stars, I think it's time for her to drop the title and let Jade have a run leading to Bianca. Well, I mean, the question is, do you turn Jade heel? You know, like, does that happen in the course of the match? That way she's a heel. Bianca comes back as a babyface to challenge, you know, heel Jade. Or if Jade is doing stuff that Bianca doesn't necessarily approve of, she confronts her about it. I don't know. I still feel like Tiffany or Jade, probably Jade, should go heel or will go heel at the end of all this. I don't know. C's says, do you believe that Io Sky is the best wrestler? I do. In WWE, I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, the top two, Gunther and Io Sky. Those are your two best wrestlers in WWE. The Boss Mo Jackson, EO means in your opinion. Okay, dude, I had no idea. I see EO, I immediately think of EO Sky. That's hilarious, actually. That is hilarious. I'm like, EO? The fuck? Cal. Hey, Cal, what's going on? 12 months of membership. I thought she would have hit Becky with the Black Widow. She looks amazing. Phil Brooks is a lucky man. I really like New Day's new theme. Oh, you like New Day's new theme, huh? Let me see if I can give you a little New Day's new theme here.
It's your boys, the New Day.
I don't do it quite as well as their theme, but yeah, it's all right. Not great, but it's okay. I've heard worse from Def Rebel. Grant Hudson with 19 months of channel membership. I saw Hogan's cartoon is going to be added to the vault. I remember my dad burned them on CD for me when I was little. Yes, Hulk Hogan's rock and wrestling cartoon from the 1980s, if you have not heard, is returning to the WWE Vault channel on YouTube, and they're going to release them in bunches, I think batches of four, every Saturday morning, starting this morning, because it's now officially Saturday morning. And I love that. I love that they're releasing them on Saturday morning. That's when I used to watch them, when they would come on TV. They did have them on Peacock for a while. or the network. It was one or the other, and then something happened with Hogan. Trying to think if it was maybe it was the early days of the network and when the Hogan sex tape and the racist stuff leaked. Maybe it was around then, but they pulled it. So they had briefly put the episodes up and then they pulled it. So now they're going to start adding them to the Vault channel on YouTube. So Ray Phoenix has a dope song, says JL. Yeah, Ray Phoenix, who was on Main Event tonight. That's where Ray Phoenix was. Ryan Awesome. In 2009, TNA's roster was stacked. What if Edge would have jumped ship to the Impact Zone, and how would he have fared? I think Edge would have fared fine. I mean, he would have had the same kind of run that some of the other ex-WWE guys had. He would have won some championships. Would it have made a huge difference in terms of where TNA was? No. It wouldn't have made any difference. Dude, they had Hogan come in. They had Hogan and Sting and Foley and Nash and Flair and all these big names. And, you know, Edge would have come in. He would have been another big WWE, you know, ex-WWE guy. And he would have had some probably really good matches. But I don't think it would have been, he wouldn't have been like a needle mover for them any more so than any of the other names that I mentioned were. Kevin says, commercials from hell. Do you think they will bring back Paige? On her Chris Van Vliet interview, she said she would love to run with that character again. Never say never, but I feel like if they were interested in her, that they would have already brought her back by now. I don't sense there's a great interest there. Do I think that she will be back at some point, even if just for some cameo appearances? Probably, yeah. But I don't sense that they're itching to bring her back. Deathscythe, could Dark Side of the Ring Season 7 feature Rick Rude, Buck Zumov, Ashley Massaro, Hana Kimura, Ring Boy Scandal, Sean O'Hare, 97 Little Rock, West Virginia, Memphis, or West Memphis riots? Yeah, the DX riots. I've talked about all this stuff on the show, by the way. Those are all potential candidates, and I think I've had many of those on my own list. Buck Zumov is just an absolutely disgusting story. That is absolutely the epitome of Dark Side of the Ring. Hana Kimura, the only thing about Hana Kimura, it might still be a little too fresh for people. But I think Daphne passed away 4 years ago, and they just did a story on her. So they could do something. When did Hana Kimura die? Was that 4 years ago? It was 3 or 4 years ago now. It might still be a little fresh. The Ring Boy Scandal, I don't see the purpose in doing one on the Ring Boy Scandal at this point. Most of the people that are, you know, or you would want to have interviewed for it are dead. The others who might still be alive, they wouldn't talk to you anyway. And I just feel like it's been rehashed so many times. At this point, if they haven't already done it, I don't see the point. But Rick Rude and Ashley Massaro, yes, absolutely. Sean O'Hare, I could see Sean O'Hare. Oh, she died in 2012. Wow, Hana Kimura has been gone for 5 years. That's crazy. I remember covering that at the time it happened. It's a very sad story. Duff's Vids, what would bears be without bees? Ears. You and the bees. C's. We go from bees to C's. That's his name. S-E-A-S. Do you believe that Io Sky is the best wrestler in the world? And then in parenthesis, he says, Mercedes doesn't come close. I haven't seen all the wrestlers in the world. I know there are some great wrestlers that are over right now, some Joshi wrestlers over in Japan. I know Mayu Iwatani exists in the world. Io Sky is among the best wrestlers in the world. I can't say she's the best wrestler in the world. She is among the best wrestlers in the world. Johnny Burney, AJ Lee returns. Fans, AEW dead. Unserious people. Yeah, I'm not really sure what one has to do with the other, but people are going to do their shtick. So I just let them do their shtick. It's all very dumb. Charles Turner Solo, do you remember the feud between Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon on Primetime Wrestling, which led to the Bobby Heenan show with the Oinkettes? I do. The Bobby Heenan show only lasted 4 episodes, so it wasn't around for very long. I remember the episode of Primetime Wrestling where Gorilla Monsoon took a bump. Took a bump from the Brooklyn Brawler and he got knocked to the ground. Big brawl broke out with the Brawler and Terry Taylor. Duff's Vids, what is an Asian's favorite sitcom? Everybody loves ramen.
What the fuck? What did I hit? Oh, man.
I hit the wrong button. Everybody loves ramen. I was going to give you the badum tis, but I guess not. Thank you, Duffs. I inhaled some helium there. We have hit the goal, by the way, for a bonus round, a bonus installment of Be the Booker. Thank you, guys. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Peace on Hana would be great. Sadly, not getting Julia, Io, or a few others as talking heads would suck. Yeah, again, I just don't know that that's a story they want to tell right now. At some point, we get a season 8, season 9. Then I can see it. All right, Be the Booker time. We got some tag. We're just talking about some tag teams. I mentioned the Hart Foundation and Demolition. But we're starting out with... definitely not the greatest tag team of all time. We are starting with Breezango. Tyler Breeze and Fandango. And they will be taking on, oh my God. Breezango against the Bushwhackers. We be whacking some bush here tonight. You can do whatever you want. I want no part of this. That's awful. That's fucking terrible. I couldn't hit that button fast enough. On the women's side, we have Alexa Bliss. Where's Bliss Fan? Bliss Fan is very excited. We have Alexa Bliss challenging who? Alexa Bliss. And Queen Zelina. Well, one thing about that match is size-wise, height-wise, it's an even match. So at least it's not like a mismatch where one is that much bigger than the other. Brian Alex says, I love Bush. You voted for him, did you? Main event. Oh, it's the ace. It's the ace, the president, el presidente of New Japan Pro Wrestling in his own retirement year, actually. John Cena is not the only one having a retirement year. Hiroshi Tanahashi. Ben says, HOG Chicago, cannot wait. Get your tickets. Got some fun stuff planned. Friday night, November 21st. I'll be there. I'll be back. Chicago, I'm back inside you, November 21st. All right, Hiroshi Tanahashi. The ace. Prime ace, yes. When his knees were not jelly. Against the beast, Mortos. Look at that mask. Why are his ears coming out of his cheeks? I just realized how deformed that mask looks. Look at his right eye. Sloping. What a weird mask. Be a great match, though. Prime Tanahashi against the Beast Mortos. That's a collision main event anywhere in the world. And because you hit the second goal, we get to do this again. This time with stipulations. Round 2. Fight. All right, our first stipulation here is going to be barroom brawl, all right? We're going to brawl in an actual barroom. That is the stipulation here. So keep that in mind, because we're going to have a barroom brawl with the... What do you think? With the ladies? A female barroom brawl? Or should we do a men's bar? We'll do a men's... I'll tell you what. You know what? The men are going to curtain jerk tonight. We're going to do that first. We're going to do a barroom brawl with the men. And that's going to open the show. Oh no. What have I done? Can we undo what I just said? No, we can't do that. It goes against the rules. The great Kali in a barroom brawl. Against Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins and the great Kali I can't think of two people and a stipulation that could just be so different from each other. Great Kali, Seth Rollins, barroom brawl, which doesn't fit either one of them. It's a good thing that the men were not in the main event tonight. I'll just say that. I know Rollins had a good match once from what I remember with Omos. But a barroom brawl with the great Kali, yeah. Seth Rollins is not a magician. I'm sorry. Uh-oh. Look what it is, everybody. We've got Tony Khan's dream match. Yes. The dream has come true. It will be a dream match for Tony Khan and the ladies. So he gets to book. Now, you know, if it's a Tony Khan dream match for the women, Mercedes is probably going to come up here. And she is in here. Mercedes is in here. Let's see what the dream match is for Tony. We have Piper Niven. This was during her Dewdrop phase. Piper Niven. Against Emma is definitely not Tony Khan's dream match. Sounds like Tony Khan's nightmare, more like that. Tony Khan is very disappointed in this match here. I'm sure he'd love to have another go at it, but that's not how it works. We do have a tag team match left. We're letting the tag teams main event tonight. Anarchy in the Arena. Well, look, if you're going to have a main event stipulation, that is a main event stipulation. But with tag teams, see, that's interesting. So two teams that are going to be... Actually, you know what? It's Anarchy in the Arena. So we kind of have to throw in two more teams. We have to book four teams in this match. Yeah, we need to book four teams. I forgot that Darby set Jack Perry on fire. All right, so we're booking four teams here. Anarchy in the Arena. Team number one. Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake, the Dream Team. Former WWF Tag Team Champions, as you could see there. That's before he was the barber. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett. Also with the belts there in that image. Look at those two. What a pair. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett, the Dream Team. Ah, yeah. Demolition, Axe, and Smash. I love it. Now we're talking Anarchy in the Arena here. And the Steiner Brothers. Rick, you know, I just realized, like, I think in every, except the Demolition one, every image they're holding... In the image, the old WWF tag team title belts. That's still the best design of those belts. But that is your Anarchy in the Arena match. I like it. I love it. You got Demolition. You got the Steiners. You got Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett. Who was the first team? I already forgot the first team. That is an Anarchy in the Arena match. See, that it worked out well this time. That is a great main event. That is a great main event. What song is playing in the match? Ooh. That's a good one. Welcome to the Jungle. Think we can get the rights? Probably not, right? I think Welcome to the Jungle would be an appropriate theme. We had some good ones in there. Oh, the Dream Team was the first. Yes, the Dream Team, Demolition, the Steiner Brothers. Sold me. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett. You sold me on the match. And Clone Force 99. Oh, who wins? Brian says, who wins? Demolition. Demolition or the Steiners? I'm going Demolition. Clone Force. Prayers to my barber. He got in a motorcycle accident at 3 a.m. days ago, and he is in a coma right now. And I had found out today since I had my appointment. That's a terrible way to find out. You walk in there and they have to tell you that whole story? That's terrible. I hope he pulls through. Was he wearing his helmet? I hope he was wearing his helmet. But thank you, Clone Force. See, that Anarchy in the Arena match, as the cool kids say, would feed families. Well, the next time I'm with you live will be Monday night for the Raw Post Show. But before that, we have episode 928 of the Sound Off, which will be going up on Sunday. And there's a lot to cover on there. So tune into that. Check out all the other content that has gone up this week on the channel. Plenty of clips. All the other live streams as well, if you missed any of that. And I appreciate all of the support. You guys blew it out tonight to be the bookers. It's the way it should be all the time. Let's do it again on Monday night. Let's run it back. Maybe we'll do another Anarchy in the Arena match. How about that? And again, if you missed it, the full segment with Bully and myself and the match that followed him and Zilla, that is up right now on the House of Glory YouTube channel. So when you're done here, you can go over there. I think it's like a quick 10 or 11 minutes. Go check that out. Leave some comments and feedback. Find out what happened after that little teaser I left earlier on. Be well. Stay safe. Retro says Solomonster feeds generations. I feel like we got a couple of generations of people that have listened to my show from the going back to the first one I ever did to the current ones. It feels like it sometimes. I love it, though. Have a great weekend. Check out the Sound Off. I'll see you back here on Monday night. Take care, guys.